Last week, 45 people were arrested in Harare, the capital of Zimbabwe, for watching a video on the uprising in Egypt. They were charged with treason and were tortured by government personnel. One of the detainees was pushed out of a second-floor window, resulting in a broken leg. Some of the detainees are HIV positive and in need of their life-saving medicine. All have been denied access to medical treatment, lawyers, and proper meals. Unfortunately, this is only one example out of thousands of human rights violations, which are happening daily in Zimbabwe. Tonight on Circle A Radio, we'll hear from Dumi Tutani, one of the coordinators of Zimbabwe Vigil, a UK-based organization that has supported human rights in Zimbabwe with weekly protests for more than 8 years. Later in the show, we'll bring you audio from Jenny Williams, national coordinator with WOZA, Women of Zimbabwe Arise. We'll also bring you music and poetry from Zimbabwean artists. Stay tuned.
My name is Dumi Tutani. I'm one of the Zim Vigil coalition coordinators. I'm a pressure group made up of people from various backgrounds. I was born in Zimbabwe. I came here to the United Kingdom in 2008. The Zim Vigil is a pressure group which meets every Saturday outside Zimbabwe House in London. The reason why we meet outside Zimbabwe is to demonstrate against human rights abuses in Zimbabwe. It's not only Zimbabweans who are in this group, people from all walks of life, got British people, Italians, everyone who is interested in the affairs of Zimbabwe is welcome and is in the group. Zimbabwe is a country which is in southern Africa. It used to be called Rhodesia up until 1980. It was before 1980, we had the racist government of Ian Smith, which was, it wasn't toppled as such, but it met its demise in 1980 through protective liberation struggles by Robert Mugabe and the late Joshua Nkomo. So after 1980, Robert Mugabe won the elections. Zimbabwe declared independence on the 18th of April. Mugabe has been the president of Zimbabwe for 30 years. We are where we are today because of his dictatorship, ruthlessness, and people of Zimbabwe are sick and tired of him. When Mugabe took over power in 1980, he inherited the breadbasket of Africa. But now Zimbabwe is past the basket case of Africa. Zimbabweans are now refugees all over the world. Zimbabwean economy has been reduced to a hole in the ground. Zimbabweans are now relying on food aid. There's 97% unemployment. The streets of Harare and major cities in Zimbabwe are overflowing with raw sewage. 3,000 people die of HIV and AIDS every week in Zimbabwe. Now, we in the diaspora are saying enough of Robert Mugabe's rule. There are other people who are saying that it's okay for us in the diaspora to talk about Robert Mugabe, to talk about uprising from the comfort of our homes in England, in America, in South Africa. But the people in Zimbabwe are under siege. So it is up to us, the people outside Zimbabwe, to raise awareness and to let the people know what's happening, to let the people know about their democratic rights, because freedom is an international right. It's not a dream. What's happening in Tunisia right now, what's happening in Egypt, what's happening in Libya, it is a direct derivative of dictators who overstay in power. Detectives who want to run the country as if it's their own plantation, and it's the same thing that's happened in Zimbabwe. And we the young generation are saying, enough. We are sick and tired of this racist rhetoric that Mugabe has been using over and over again, that the problem in Zimbabwe is a problem between black and white people, that the problem in Zimbabwe is between ex-colonial powers and people who brought freedom, liberation in Zimbabwe. We, the young people, are saying, we want democracy, dignity, and opportunities. That's all we want.
What are some of the inspiring movements in your country?
We are in touch with Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union. We are in touch with HOZA, Women of Zimbabwe Arise. We are in touch with MDC, Movement of Democratic Change, which is headed by Tsvangirai and Washman Ncube. And we are in touch with ROL, Restoration of Human Rights in Zimbabwe. All these people look up to us because we are spearheading the struggle outside Zimbabwe. The fact that we've been outside Zimbabwe House in London for 8 years, come rain or sunshine, and the fact that even though there was a government of national unity between Morgan Tsvangirai and Robert Mugabe, we still stood our ground and said Mugabe has to go. Most people thought that we were mad at that time to be still demonstrating outside Zimbabwe House, and here there was a government, then opposition government, which was now sharing power with Mugabe. But the reality is, Morgan Tsvangirai doesn't have any power. The police force are controlled by Robert Mugabe. The National Army is controlled by Robert Mugabe. The intelligence services is controlled by Robert Mugabe. Even a five-year-old child to see that Zimbabwe is still firmly in the hands of Robert Mugabe and his henchmen. And what we are saying is that there will never be peace in Zimbabwe until there are free and fair elections monitored by the international community, not by Mugabe's allies in Africa who've never seen a ballot box before. What we want are free and fair elections monitored in Zimbabwe, a peacekeeping force which is going to be in place a few months before the elections, a few months after the elections, to make sure that whoever wins the elections hands over power to the victor. We don't want a repeat of what happened in 2008, where people were murdered and many people lost their homes. And instead, Robert Mugabe was aided and abetted by his African brothers, namely Thabo Mbeki. All the African brothers who are in the African Union didn't see that Robert Mugabe lost an election. Instead, they thought that Morgan Tsvangirai was the one who was in the wrong, and they peddled this lie that Britain was about to invade Zimbabwe, which is a lie. So we are saying that we don't want a repeat of what happened in 2008. If there's ever going to be an election in Zimbabwe, it should be monitored by the United Nations, and there should be a peacekeeping force so that no one loses life, so that whoever loses the elections must hand over power. Because we are sick and tired of having a government of national unity. A government of national unity which is in Zimbabwe right now is not working, and it's all clear for everyone to see.
You are listening to an interview with Dumi Tutani, coordinator for the Zimbabwe Vigil Coalition in London.
When Robert Mugabe won the election in 1980, he didn't want only to rule Zimbabwe, but he wanted to rule alone. So from 1980, he's always eliminated his opponents. From 1980, he's always made sure that whoever rises up against him is killed. Many people have died in mysterious deaths. And in 1980, he won 57 seats out of 100 seats, but there was a nationalist leader who was also in the bush fighting alongside with him, called Joshua Nkomo. And Joshua Nkomo is from a minority tribe called the Ndebeles. What Mugabe, to make sure that he rules on his own, he had this pretext that Joshua Nkomo has got bandits who were up against the government, against his government. So he sent in North Korean-trained soldiers to Matabeleland region to go and kill people, to go and kill Joshua Nkomo's opponents. As a result, 2,000 people were murdered by these North Korean cold soldiers called the 5th Brigade. And in 1987, Joshua Nkomo seen that his supporters, so many of his supporters were being killed, he agreed to a government of national unity, and his party got swallowed up by ZANU-PF, by Robert Mugabe. Fast forward that year 2000, MDC was formed in 1999 as a direct result, because the MDC, Robert Mugabe, wanted a referendum which was going to entrench his power. So MDC made sure that people would vote no to Robert Mugabe so that he doesn't have excessive power. As a result of that, ZANU-PF lost the election and Robert Mugabe got so furious. So to punish MDC, he started these farm invasions and he punished the white farmers for supporting MDC. Not only that, fast forward that 2005, when there was a general election, ZANU-PF lost in all major cities. So to punish urban dwellers, Robert Mugabe bulldozed the people's houses in urban areas, MDC supporters' houses. 700 people lost their livelihood, and many people lost their homes in midwinter. Whenever Robert Mugabe is faced with the opposition, he reverts to violence. So violence is in Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF's DNA.
Anybody who is trying to get power for the people is being attacked, and their very ability to survive is being attacked.
Exactly.
Following the revolt against dictators in Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya, Zimbabweans in and outside the country have been using social networks to call for a protest march against Robert Mugabe. The Zimbabwe Million Citizen March calls for a mass protest under the theme, Power in Numbers to Remove Dictatorship. At the time of this recording, the march is set to take place, Tuesday, March 1st. News reports indicate a crackdown, with military deployment on the streets of Harare and the arrest and torture of key organizers. Contact Zimbabwe Vigil and Amnesty International for more information on monitoring the human rights situation in Zimbabwe. Again, this is Dumi Tutani.
Every Saturday we are outside Zimbabwe House demonstrating, singing and protesting, and there are petitions that will be going on, and we've sent petitions to the British government. We've been to number 10 Downing Street. We've sent petitions to United Nations, over 40,000 signatures in that petition. We've sent petitions to European Union. And also, we've got friends in the media who help us keep Zimbabwe on the radar, so to speak. From everybody, from the world over, you want people, peace-loving people, to help us by lobbying their religious leaders, lobbying their senators, lobbying their member of parliament, and let Zimbabwe be on the international radar, not to let Zimbabwe out of the picture, because Zimbabwe is burning. Zimbabwe is in a critical position. It's in intensive care. The moment we let Zimbabwe out of the picture, the moment we let Zimbabwe out of the media spotlight, then the world will think that all is fine. But the reality is there's no peace in Zimbabwe. There's no freedom of assembly. There's no free judiciary in Zimbabwe. There's no free press in Zimbabwe. People, right now as I speak, labor activists, political activists, social activists have been rounded up in Harare and they've spent their fifth night in prison. These people were wearing a house, watching a DVD which was explaining how the Arab streets uprising against their detectives. But because these people are living in a paranoid state, they were taken into prison and they haven't been charged. What the government is saying right now, is saying these people were plotting to overthrow the government of Zimbabwe, which is a lie. What is wrong with someone while watching a video? What is wrong with someone taking this government and asking questions about social justice? What is wrong with someone asking their own government about their living conditions, which have gotten worse and worse over the years? What we in Zimbabwe are asking for is democracy, dignity, and that's not too much to ask for. And I know that we are going to achieve it. Even if Mugabe is going to kill us in our thousands, one day we are going to liberate ourselves. And we know that freedom doesn't come cheap. This is a fact. And I'd like my friends, our friends all over the world, that they can help us by lobbying their senators, the congressmen, etc. But we Zimbabweans have got a duty to play, because we are our own liberators. None but ourselves can free ourselves. And we are going to free ourselves. The dictatorship in Zimbabwe has gone for too long. For too long. Many people were born after 1980 have only know Robert Mugabe as the president of Zimbabwe. So Mugabe thinks he controls these people. He thinks he can run Zimbabwe as a plantation, as his own backyard. But we are saying that the news is tightening around Robert Mugabe, and time for him is running out.
You're listening to Circle A Radio. Tonight, the spotlight is on Zimbabwe, focusing on the human rights abuses under Robert Mugabe and the movements organizing to put power back into the hands of the people. We continue our interview with Dumi Tutani, one of the coordinators of Zimbabwe Vigil UK.
Zimbabwe is a land that's gifted in so many natural resources. Let's talk about agriculture. Zimbabweans are very good at agriculture. We are an agrarian society. But the fact that Zimbabwe is doing well in agriculture, and agriculture is, as you know, the world over, it's a business. So in any failed state, anything which is doing well, the government will get rid of it. So agriculture was doing well. The Zimbabwe government intervened and made sure that they ran the agriculture sector to a hole in the ground. And they succeeded in doing that. Recently, there have been diamonds. These diamonds, instead of being a blessing, they're a curse. So much money is supposed to be realized from the sale of these diamonds. Recently, the Minister of Finance, Tendai Biti, said that 100 million US worth of US dollars, 100 million have gone missing since the sale of these diamonds. Since the sale of these diamonds started, the Zimbabwe Treasury hasn't seen a penny out of it. The army generals are busy smuggling these diamonds out of Zimbabwe, selling them on the black market, and they're running around the streets of Harare in very expensive cars and Rolex watches, whilst major cities in Harare are overflowing with raw sewage. Let's talk about other minerals, platinum, gold, coal, you name it, we've got it. But nobody knows at all what's happened to all these natural resources. They are being smuggled out of the country by army generals. And Mugabe knows it, because the reason why he's been in power through a system of patronage and bribes. So he's bribing these people so that he stays in power. But not last forever. Good will overcome evil.
Can you comment on the healthcare and education systems?
The healthcare sector has collapsed. Like I told you before, we have over 1,000 people in Zimbabwe who are HIV positive. Over 1,000 people dying every week. People cannot afford antiretroviral drugs. even if they can afford antiretroviral drugs, these drugs are poisonous if you don't take them with food. You need a good diet. And in Zimbabwe, there's 97% unemployment. And most Zimbabwe, about a third of Zimbabwe, rely on food and food aid. So you can see that food and antiretroviral drugs go hand in hand. It's not only HIV and AIDS that people are suffering. Recently, just 2 years ago, we had an outbreak of cholera where 4,000 people died in Zimbabwe. 4,000 people. People were drinking dirty water. Things that can, diseases avoidable, are still rampant in Zimbabwe. So the health shelter is a non-starter, unless if you are rich, which most Zimbabweans are not rich. Education system has collapsed, unless you've got money. And the people who've got money to educate their children, like I said, the ZANU-PF guys, army generals. How about the rest of Zimbabwe who don't have any money? What about the children of ex-farm laborers who don't have any money? How about the people who don't have anyone in the diaspora? What about the people who are disabled, who've got disabled parents? What's happening in Zimbabwe is disgraceful, to say the least.
You know, a lot of people in the United States put their money into helping with more charity-based organizations. Is that part of the solution?
Anything to help Zimbabweans we greatly appreciate, because Zimbabweans have suffered enough. Anything to help Zimbabweans we greatly appreciate. And I applaud those people who are going out of their way to help people in my country.
I guess I wanted to open up some space, too, if there's things that you and I haven't talked about that you'd like to get across.
Change is coming soon to Zimbabwe, and the people should not lose hope. Because, like Shakespeare said, the worst thing to die in a man is hope. So they should not lose hope. Change is coming soon to Zimbabwe. They should talk about what's happening in Zimbabwe to their friends, their workmates, wherever they go. They should talk to the people, talk to anyone who they come across about what Zimbabwe is going through. But they should rest assured that change is around the corner.
You're listening to Circle A Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO, in Portland. We've been discussing this evening the current state in Zimbabwe. We heard earlier from Dumi Tutani with the Zimbabwe Vigil Coalition, located in the United Kingdom. Next, we're going to hear from Jenny Williams of WOZA, Women of Zimbabwe Arise. Stay tuned.
My name is Jenny Williams. I'm a human rights defender, national coordinator of Women of Zimbabwe Arise, which we call WOZA. I learned about human rights by having them abused, and then I sought to find out how am I supposed to prevent this abuse from happening. And that's how I became introduced to the subject of human rights. Before I formed WOZA, I used to be a business person, and I used to go about my daily existence preoccupied with making money, running a professional consultancy. And so I began to realize that I have to take on this fight for human rights. I was arrested on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day in 2003. It was quite something for me to be arrested, and my crime was apparently handing out a red rose and saying, Zimbabweans, it's time to learn to love again. That was quite a hard experience for me to go through. It was made worse by the fact that my 18-year-old son was across the road from me. He was in the parkade in Harare in Kwame Nkrumah Street, and my friend had given him a camera to hold. And when we started our demonstration, the police ran into that arcade thinking that they would find journalists there, and they saw my son holding this camera. Not that he was doing anything with the camera, but I then found that he was arrested. And so having to undergo my own arrest and then seeing that my child has now been caught in this crossfire was quite a challenge for me to that first arrest. But since that time, I think I've been arrested over 32 times. I'm very proud, and my mother is also very proud, that I've been arrested twice for praying in public. This government doesn't seem to like people who pray and call on divine intervention. The one time that I've been arrested that frightened me is a time I was arrested with a number of colleagues in a peaceful demonstration. And I was put in a police defender with two other of my colleagues. And we were driven out of Bulawayo. And as the police were driving us, they were saying that, do you know that Kanan Kala was killed at Solusi Mission? And when they had to dig, they found his body. And they were describing how this politician, Kanan Kala, had been killed. And they were going to say that whatever happened to Kanan Kala is little compared to what is happening to you. Unfortunately for them, there is a guard up there. And they ended up taking me to Fig Tree Police Station, where the police officers there said, why have you been arrested? And they said, we were banging our pots saying, there's no mealy meal, there's hunger in Zimbabwe. And the police said, ah, but you have done the right thing. And they said, ah, you have no food. Can we get some food for you from our houses? So, you know, whenever there's a human rights abuse, quite often you'll find it will help you to meet people who will be touched by what you're doing. But the most important thing is the incredible sisterhood that we have managed to build in Woza. In July 2003, when police came after a demonstration and they touched me and they said, Jennifer Williams, you are under arrest. And when the other woman started to walk, the police said, no, hambanin, go away. We are only arresting Jenny Williams. The woman said, there's nothing like that. She was not demonstrating for only her rights. We are also there. And very soon the police defender was packed. Very soon other people walked to the police station and handed themselves in. And that has been an incredible solidarity that we have built in Woza. And that sisterhood and that solidarity also helps us to keep committed to the struggle for human rights. The major thing I should tell people, that fear is something that is natural. People call me brave, but there's never a time when I am arrested, when I'm in a demonstration, where I do not feel afraid, where my heart doesn't beat. But the most important thing about fear is just an emotion like anything else. What is more important is to focus on the emotion and the happiness you will feel when you have achieved a socially just Zimbabwe, when you can actually stand up and say, I fought to make Zimbabwe truly independent. We have a new constitution. There's empowerment for people no matter where they come from. That is an important thing. So fear is there to be overcome. Look at the better emotion that's behind fear.
In January, Jenny Williams was a featured speaker at Stanford University. Next up, we bring you an excerpt of her talk entitled Decreasing Mugabe's Power by Increasing People Power in Zimbabwe. Yeah.
zvababata pamore ripasina rarambo.
What have been our achievements as WASA? We've empowered people. You've seen those people on the street demonstrating. And I remember in our early days of demonstrating, I would see people dancing in the demonstrations and I would say, hey, stop dancing. This is very serious here, you know. You can get arrested any moment. Or we must put across our issue that, you know, we need a better education system. And then I realized that for that moment of the demonstration, people are out there exercising their rights and feeling like a human being. And you know, that's something that you cannot put a cost on, and it's something that is not easy to quantify. How do you, and you get hooked on that freedom, and that's why people sing, that's why they enjoy themselves, because for that moment of that demonstration, they are human beings exercising their full rights, whether the state likes it or not. We run community workshops, meetings, tens of thousands of members, primarily women, have been empowered with knowledge on their rights, democracy, strategic nonviolence. Yes, we've read Martin Luther King. We understand how you were civilly disobedient and why just people should not follow unjust laws. We've grown as from an organization in 2006. We had 35,000 members. We now have 75,000 members. We train people to be human rights defenders. Now, if you go on the United Nations website, you will see that there's a protocol for human rights defenders, and there's a description of who is a human rights defender. Well, for us, that is a very important document, because it gives us legitimacy. It makes people understand that even in the UN, we are recognized. We have grown and expanded our operational areas, and this is still an underground organization. We have 25 operational areas in Harare, 33 in Bulawayo, and 34 in Matabeleland rural areas. Unfortunately, we lack a lot of resources to service our rural areas, so we do not take up every rural invitation that we receive. We have a steadily growing male wing. The men said, hey, if you're going out there into the street and you're fighting for social justice, are we not also going to benefit from that social justice? So please, can we also be a part of this? And so we have this male wing growing steadily with us. We have organized community leaders. We have now 372, and this was from 298 in 2009. We have a coaching wing. We have taken those young people who are the prime candidates to swim the Limpopo River, defying the crocodiles, try to make sure they don't get eaten, to go and be in exile in South Africa. We took them and we said, we will make you our coaches. We will train you in facilitation. We will train you in democracy, strategic nonviolence. And so we formed this coaching wing of these very ordinary young people. We now have 83 of these people trained from 44 at the beginning of 2009. In the last 18 months, we've conducted 25 street demonstrations in our three main centers that we operate. And our demonstrations are primarily to put across this message. It's not about who's the president, it's not about who's in power, who should be the governor, who should be the ambassadors. It's about very ordinary, everyday things that politicians need their attention to be focused on. We also prepare reports. That coaching wing that we have, we do research and we have launched some very important reports. Topics include the political violence experienced by members, trauma, the state of the education system in Zimbabwe, the state of democracy in Zimbabwe. Those are very important reports, and they are representative of about 10,000 people's views, which is a very important thing for us, that we actually take people's views and put those across in our reports. For all the reasons we have listed, WASA has gained a reputation with decision makers. We're a voice that cannot be ignored. This is evident in our continued persecution, our arrests, detentions, prosecution of our leadership, and recently we were summoned. We received a phone call from the police to say the Minister of Home Affairs required our presence. And 3 hours of discussion with the co-ministers of Home Affairs led them to tell us that Warsaw's activities are giving Zimbabwe a bad reputation with the international community. On that day, though, we agreed to disagree, and we explained to them that unjust laws were not going to be followed by us, and despite the fact that they ordered us to notify police before we had any further demonstrations, we said to them there was no law requiring us to do that. And so we departed that meeting on less friendly terms. We've developed expertise in civic education around the current constitutional consultation. Parliament expected to go and ask people about constitutions without explaining a single thing about what a constitution is about, what Bill of Rights, how the laws are made, nothing. They expected to just go and ask people a bunch of 26 questions. We decided that we were not going to allow our members to have the civic education compromised. And so we trained ourselves in constitutions, and we went and taught our members about constitutionalism, and we came up with a report which we produced and submitted to Parliament. The report is called The Rising of the Woman Means the Rising of the Nation. If you look up Brendan Rose's song of the Strikers in over 100 years ago, I think I see some of you nodding, you'll see that is a very important song, and it's still something that we are doing today. So we use the titles and the sentences from that song to motivate and inspire us. The political environment in Zimbabwe remains highly volatile, uncertain, and tense. A polarized environment does not favor the holding of elections. But we have no choice in the matter, because elections are called by politicians and not by people. The inclusive government, despite promises to do so, has not repealed repressive legislation such as the Public Order Security Act, the Access to Information Protection of Privacy Act, the Broadcasting Services Act. These acts have restricted people's liberties and freedoms of expression and association, and they are inimical to the holding of free and fair elections. Institutions and infrastructure that support violence, such as the youth militia, war veterans, and partisan army and police, remain unreformed and are therefore a threat to democratic elections. The safety of human rights defenders and activists remains an issue of concern, as this curtails the oversight function of civic society. During the 2008 election period, 13 colleagues and myself were arrested, denied bail, and taken to prison for the duration of the presidential runoff period. I was in prison for 6 weeks for holding a peaceful demonstration. The state has recently tried to resuscitate this case, and therefore we expect the state to try and put us behind bars as soon as possible in 2011. These are just some of the demands, some of the concerns, but the urgent priority is to demand a constitution which is fully reflective of the people's views, followed by a referendum. If this constitution process is peacefully and respectfully conducted, without any negative impact on the economy, this will go a long way towards creating confidence where an election roadmap can be drawn up and adhered to. Very often people focus their attention on the person of Robert Mugabe. But for us in Warsaw, we think his departure is only one step in our democratization. How he might be removed, we are not sure, as we believe in non-violence. And against the power of the state that he controls, non-violence will take a long time to bring the desired outcome. Political processes are failing to remove him, and for him as an individual, it is more likely that natural causes will intervene. He's 83 at the moment. Our task is to work towards ensuring that what comes after is a more democratic, and that can only happen with sufficient democratic yeast within the society to make the loaf rise. So we have already begun the real work to bring a democratic society composed of people who understand what democracy is, accept the rule of the majority with protection for all minorities, the rule of law, the equitable and responsible use of resources to benefit the mass of people. We want to see those diamonds bringing development to Zimbabwe. This requires, as we said earlier, a long-term evolution and hard work to change people's attitudes and ways of behaving. WASA works towards this within our own organization, and we cooperate with others towards the same goals. In closing, we are building a society where no new Robert Mugabe can flourish and oppress the people. Defending human rights and fighting for social justice is not an intangible theoretical task. It is our way of life. And we see the Zimbabwe we want in our mind's eye and feel it in our heart. But we cannot do it alone. We need your solidarity. The local, regional, and international solidarity WASA have received has played a vital role in keeping the movement mobilized. It encourages us to see that our struggle is recognized globally, and this shines light on WASA. That is vital for our safety as activists who are directly disobedient to unjust laws and to a regime that is expert at violence with impunity. Our task is not an isolated one, and it is replicated in parts of Africa for those who yearn for the kind of freedom and development which you here in America enjoy. We know our society is not perfect, and many of you are engaged in trying to make it more equitable and just. But we ask you to appreciate that what you have and protect your own rights and freedoms and build on them. We need models that inspire us as we progress along our own road. But for those who wish to accompany us on our journey towards, away from Mugabeism, towards Zimbabwean democracy, there's also much that you can do to help. There's a simple action of solidarity for our struggle. Participating in a protest network to pressurize the Zimbabwe government whenever activists are arrested or beaten. There's the ongoing need for funds to keep our struggle going. With an impoverished society, we have few sources of local finance we can tap, and on our own members are barely surviving. There is pressure you can place on your own government not to recognize African governments which are patently illegitimate, such as what is happening in the Ivory Coast, and to isolate those who cease or retain power against the will of the people. And this is a very important example that you see in Ivory Coast. This is why in Zimbabwe we never wanted a coalition government, because if there's a disputed election, it now sets a precedent that you can just hang on to power, and eventually SADC, African Union, will say you need another coalition. It started in Kenya, it spread to Zimbabwe, and you now see the same thing happening in Cote d'Ivoire. We like to believe that there's a huge circle of friends around the world who believe with us that we do not have to accept oppression. There can be a better world for our children and our grandchildren, and even for our own generation, where no strong man can steal the food from a child's mouth, where no woman will be raped because her husband belongs to an opposition party, where police protect the people and judges mete out justice, where no bank director gets a $1 million bonus while his workforce can't afford medical treatment. Such dreams are the driving force behind the struggle for human rights throughout the world, and we are proud to share them and to work towards them. The journey is long and the burdens are heavy, but a shared burden is a burden lightened. Let's walk together on that road which brings us closer to a dream for a socially just world where we can all enjoy the bread and roses. Thank you.
That was an excerpt from a speech by Jenny Williams of Women of Zimbabwe Arise that was given at Stanford University in January. Next, we'll hear some poetry from Dumi Senda, a London-based Zimbabwean.
What shall we do? I'm going to do a poem for you. I wrote about peace. Usually I like to recite my poetry or to perform it. But in this case, I'm going to read it straight from the notepad. The reason being, I only wrote this last night. And I think poetry is like a partner that you get to know, you know. This for us is the dating stage. I'm getting to know the poem and the poem is getting to know me. So, peace. Peace is not peaceful, asleep. At best, more inconvenient than war. Peace. Peace is disorderly, cannot be pegged away neatly on a shelf, demands more action than a restless toddler. Peace cannot be tamed or gained. Peace has to be made. It is neither complacent nor amicable, ruffles feathers and fells trees, dwarfing all else. Peace is fragile in its resilience. Far from divine, it divides in order to unite. Peace is obstinate like a donkey, known to throw over many a jockey. Peace will not lie low, oh no. Its ugly head it raises at inconvenient times. Peace costs more than a dime. It spills blood and takes lives to save life. Peace is wrong before it is right. It can fight before it can oblige. Show me an agreeable peace, and I will show you a bunch of roses with no thorns. Peace, a fact of the matter, not a matter of fact. As stubborn as a hound, treaties were signed, but peace was nowhere to be found. Peace is on the most wanted list. So much devastation caused like a terrorist. Peace, a cousin of conflict, with no light would darkness exist? War with no peace? Thank you.
Kumbula abazali bam. Sengikhumbula abazali bam. Umama lo baba wangishiya ngingedwa. Umama lo baba wangishiya ngingedwa. So long it has been since I said so long to my home and left. So long. So long, there's nothing left but to walk that long walk to my place of birth. Now that finally I am coming home, I shall peer in the clouds above on that day and wonder if they recognize my face and stare at the ground on which we walk. Will it feel my pain, I wonder, and understand that I was lost, tossed like a coin down the drains and veins of city sewers. Kumusha, the sewer Zeshua. Lost, not by choice, lost and denied a voice, lost to the wind that blows, that blows, that blows with not a care, that carries all it can hold and holds all it can carry. Far from the tree of my stock, it ferried me and dumped me on foreign soils, a misplaced seed. the mouth preconceived, a solid rock turned out to be. And much of my dreams went unwatered and wilted. Oh yes. Oh yes. I had a bellyful, slept on a double bed and a double on my plate, enough to feed an African village. But something I missed him. Nikanuga ekaya bagit. Lost. But now that I am found, will the ground be kind to my step? The trees and the grass, my predicament understand? Will the proud mountains lend a hand or shrug their shoulders in dry contempt? The easterlies and northerlies, will they wipe the tears of years off my face now that finally I am coming home? When the tide subsides, and it will, and the lion has lost its bite, I shall catch that flight, greet the breeze, release the goats, and graze the sheep. Let the cows confess the grass is sweet. Umqombothi flowing like river umfolozi, and the cock show off on rooftops. Finally, now that finally I am coming home. The thought weighs 1,000 pounds on my mind, the enormity of it all, knowing that finally I am coming home. I should be filled with peace to the bone, for I have longed for so long for the sun's warm lips, for the sun's warm lips, my skin to kiss. But now that my ticket with destiny is booked, dampness soaks my being, and there's not a dry patch left to which I may cling, now that finally I am coming home. A TV appeal comes on. How timely. Only 3 great British pounds, it claims boldly, can save a family in Africa from starving. Suddenly, fanciful sounds in my ears of village women ululating are replaced by ghastly cries of following children. I am letting down by laying claim to that which by right should be mine, now that finally I am coming home. I turn off my TV set for the last time, knowing for the first time it shall be mine for the last time. Standing on the rug in my lounge barefoot, how I wish I could pack its softness in a lunch tin like food, now that finally I am coming home. But somewhere between the ticking clock and the solid wall I call my mind is lost life's occupations I so wish to keep and so wish to leave behind. And the thoughts of lights turning off a shudder, and the metal bed registering with a rumble is hunger. I half wave goodbye the dusk, knowing full well in time I shall bask in the warm embrace of Mama Africa's arms. But now that finally I am coming home, will Mama Africa bask in my arms? Thank you.
You just heard a piece of original poetry by Dumi Senda, a Zimbabwean currently based in London. Thank you for listening to Circle A Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. Thanks to Dumi Tutani and all of the guests on tonight's show. To learn more about the Zimbabwe Vigil Coalition, visit their website at www.zimvigil.co.uk. To learn more about the Women of Zimbabwe Arise, visit their website at www.amnesty.org. ncc.org/UK and click on the Our Work button. To listen to this and past Circle A radio shows, visit us at www.kbo.fm/Circle A Radio. You can contact us either by visiting our website or by emailing us at circlearadio@gmail.com. Circle A Radio is on the first and third Wednesday of every month from 6 to 7 p.m. Thanks for listening.